You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me always is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he started investing at 19 years old with very little money.
That's right, Charles. And he'll also be talking about how his first deal was a nothing down fourplex and how he started investing in larger multifamily and mobile home parks. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
We want to take this time to tell you about our real estate investing course that we are giving away completely free. This course has helped countless people become real estate investors, including us. And now is your turn.
That's right, Charles. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777, and we'll give you the MPI Real Estate Investing Course completely free. And if you got anything out of this show, please share it with at least one other person to help them invest in real estate also. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is William Palmer, and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is Charles Rose Jr., an amazing investor and an awesome co-host. Charles, I know you usually do the intro, so this is a fun one to switch up, but how are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Oh, man, my voice was out a little bit, and it just literally came back in. So I love it. This is awesome. I think, you know, just hearing your voice just kind of, you know, trying to kind of heal me on the inside, man. So I just, you know, thank you for also being a friend and a healer, brother.
I wonder if my kids would agree with that. Probably not. They're all trying to stay as far away from me as possible right now.
What? No, normally when, you know, normally kids, like, you can just kiss a boo-boo and they're like, and they feel like they're better, you know?
That's mom, man. That's mom? That's my wife. For sure.
I do it with mine too. So it works, man. You got some healing powers, Jen. I'm just telling you, man. It just healed me. Not a kiss, but your voice, you know.
Yeah, I think my wife might have something to say about that. We spend the night together.
I know, man.
Yeah, man. Super excited to jump into today's episode. This dude sounds like he's got quite a lot going for him and really got off to a pretty good start in his real estate investing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This dude is awesome, man. I mean, he went from like being an accountant to a real estate investor, right from like accountant to real estate investing. I mean, he got some skills with a Z, brand.
Yeah, I mean, if I think about some skill sets that would be really good to have right off the bat for estate investing, accounting 100%. Is actually pretty high as far as I am concerned. But he has that, and then he has a portfolio with some properties in multifamily, and then one of my favorites to talk about is mobile home parks. So I'm super excited to hear how he got into that space and why he got into that space.
100%, man. Yeah, he's going to tell the story way better than we can. He has an amazing story. I've been following him online for a while. I believe we were friends on Facebook before we were friends in person. Just through, you know, I mean, I don't know who added who first, but anyway, I met him at the My First Million in Multifamily conference last year, just about a year from today. And he was just awesome, man. You know, one of those persons like you, that could be like 1,000 people in the room. And then, you know, there are a few people who stand out, right? And he was one of those persons. You know, he has a radiant personality. Awesome guy. I mean, I remember he and I, we were talking like at the right next to the elevator. It was just a quick greet, you know, hi and bye. And we ended up talking for, I don't know, maybe 30, 45 minutes, whatever, you know, all at the elevator, and just, you know, sharing our experiences, sharing our stories, and just being grateful to be there. And so I'm just super excited. I feel like our listeners are in for a treat today, William.
Yeah, super excited. But you're really building this up. And I really want to get in the interview and really start hearing from AJ Smith, who is going to be joining us today. AJ, how are you doing, man?
Oh, man, fellas, you guys are pumping it up. I don't know if I can live up to that, but I appreciate
we have faith.
Being here.
You got it, AJ, man. Man, AJ, I am sure our listeners want to hear, you know, your story. So how did you get started in real estate investing? What initially made you want to do it? And I know you're a young guy, man. I mean, you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah, in my 20s. And as I was in college, I was reading different books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was studying accounting. And as I was looking at the path forward, I was looking at what are my teachers doing? What are their clients doing? Which would I like to do more? And I was looking at that dichotomy and I saw, you know, after an internship, I saw I'm not really super interested in doing this for the rest of my life. It's not something where I want to be in these spreadsheets looking at all these financial documents for different public companies. And so I started to look at how do I do what some of the wealthier clients are doing of my professors who were in accounting for years and had these tax clients where their tax liability was just nothing. They wrote off so much in their taxes. It was basically non-existent. And so I looked at what, and I asked, what did these wealthier clients do? And the common denominator across many of them was they invested in real estate. So I took that information, I took that knowledge, and I became hungry, man. I became so hungry for all the information regarding what are all the tax write-offs? How do I take advantage of those? And more importantly, how did a lot of these people build their wealth and do it in a way that kept essentially their family intact, gave them enough time to continue to do the business side, but also to focus a lot of their time on the family side? That's very important to me. And I was looking at my career path forward for accounting. I was going to do that. Then I switched up and I started doing management. But even in management, I would look at the vice presidents of the company and I'd see my future if I were to continue down the path. And these people were working, and their whole life was about the company. And it just was not a path I wanted. So I found some mentors in the real estate space. I saw
they were pretty miserable, right? They look pretty miserable, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. You know, like their whole life was the company, and it's not something I wanted. So I found people who were doing it differently.
Dude, that's awesome. The amount of forethought to have, like, I remember in my early 20s, like that was not even a thought. And it wasn't even a thought until after I was married for several years of what do I want to be doing for the next 30? Because I knew I didn't want to, you know, work for 30 years. And it's awesome that you had that vision so early and you actually acted on it, which is so awesome.
Yeah. And you know, something like I can relate to what AJ was saying about, you know, just looking at the executives. Like, I remember the company where I started, I remember, like, you know, hearing these executives, we were at an event with the executives and the young engineers of the company. And I remember hearing them like talking and among themselves on how they literally sleep with their cell phone under their pillow. You know, they work 50 to 70 hours a week. You know, so it's like, I remember them having them talk about all these things and they just seemed so miserable as they were talking about it. And I'm like, this is not the life I want for me. And a lot of these big companies, especially the bigger the company is, it seems like, you know, not everyone, but it seems like a lot of them are on their third, fourth, fifth marriage, you know? So I'm like, I do not want this for my life, you know?
Oh, yeah. I totally relate to that. Even the phone under the pillow part. I came out of college and I was working as a executive manager or district manager for a grocery store. And essentially, that was the expectation for both the store managers of the grocery store and the district managers, is if there was some sort of emergency overnight, you're responsible for picking up the phone and making sure everything's going well. And that did happen probably half a dozen times over the course of the time that I was there. So, you know, I saw that and I was like, I'm going to buy some fourplexes and start to cut my costs down and make some money, man.
Hey, that's great. So you said you got mentorship and found some people in the real estate space. Can you talk a little bit about how that happened and then why you ended up picking like small multi-unit properties?
Oh, man. Yeah. So you can find mentors all over the place. And I'm so grateful for the ones that I've had so far. It started off with books, and I've got a ton of books behind me right now. I still can think of some of the quotes from those. But I started off with the books, and that gave me a baseline to have conversations with people that were actively investing in real estate. And that's where I tried to take it from there. It was books and podcasts, then conversations. And from the conversational point, I transitioned that from just phone calls into more lunches. And as I've grown, now I buy multifamily, I buy mobile home parks. I started with small multifamily, But as I've grown, I've been able to have lunches with people who are in those spaces and learn a lot about how do they take those down. That's how mentorship works for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's nothing that quite replaces having a good lunch and a sit down conversation with somebody. I recently had a guy drive all the way up from North Carolina, 2 hours just to have lunch with me. And we sat for 3 hours. People came and went for in lunch, and it was hilarious. We were just sitting there the whole time, just chatting, getting to know each other. But so I'm curious, starting out with starting to get into the multifamily, how did you start actually? A lot of people, they get stuck trying to find the financing for these things. How did you get started with that? Can you walk us through maybe how the first deal went?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I can walk you through all the effort it took, all the time it took, all the mistakes that happened. I can walk you through all that, and I'm happy to. So,
oh, yeah. We want to hear it, man. Give all the juicy details. Don't leave out none.
I'll give all the juicy bits. Yeah. Yeah. So basically 2018, I started to analyze properties after I had that epiphany of I want to have some sort of income, some sort of profession outside of what I'm going to be doing for work. And so I started to look at how do I buy these things? And it took me a while. It took me different mentors. I bought a couple courses for pretty cheap, but I bought some knowledge through different calculators, through different webinars, and that gave me the base to start looking at how do I analyze the properties. And from there, I just took action. I started to look on Realtor. I looked on Zillow at various on-market properties, and I just ran numbers. And I ran numbers on over 700 properties, and I made—
That's awesome.
Five offers and four got rejected. And finally, after I think it was 3 years, 3 years, 700 properties, five offers, I got one accepted. And that was my first fourplex.
Wow. That's awesome.
How old were you? How old were you when that happened?
I was 22 when that happened. I just graduated when I bought it.
That's awesome. William, what were you saying? I rudely interrupt you. Sorry.
No, I can't remember now. Now I'm just so surprised. 22, that's so awesome. What a great starting so early is so awesome. The amount of knowledge, just the underwriting 700 deals and just running the numbers. Everyone wants to know how you get better at running numbers. Well, you got to actually run the numbers. And
but William, what I'm trying to figure out, so he said it was at 22 when he got the property. So that means, and he did it for 3 years. That means he started from what, 19 running? How many 19 years old, are running 700? You know what I'm saying?
Not many. And if I know some of them, I wish they would tell me that they're doing that because I'd love to be involved in helping them succeed with that. But yeah, that's pretty awesome. So the first one, what did you buy it for? What did it cash flow? And then where has it gone from there? How's your business grown?
I'll walk you through the financing on my first one. So awesome. My first one I bought, it was $226,000. The financing for it was an owner-occupied financing. So I bought the fourplex. I lived in one unit. The other two units were generating about $550 a month. And I would just go from unit to unit. I kept at first my first two tenants that were in there. They weren't great tenants. That one was smoking and the other one had a lot of kind of various things going on. But I kept them in there and kept the income rolling in, and I would just renovate from unit to unit. So I lived in one, renovated it, rented it out, lived in another, renovated it, rented it out, moved to the third, moved to the fourth. And that's kind of how that progressed.
Dude, that's pretty awesome.
That's so awesome. I think every young people should do that. I always tell every young people, don't buy a single family one unit, buy a duplex, a triplex or a quad, That's a great place to start.
Yeah, especially now, AJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it possible when you're doing the mortgage for something like that to use the income of the property to help you actually obtain that mortgage?
Very much so. Yes. And here's a few tips I'd give to the audience. For all of you listening right now, here's a few tips that I'd provide for you. And this helped me a lot, especially thinking about coming out of college and buying a property. I did have a job and I had a pretty good income. But having that additional income coming in to show this property can basically manage itself, especially once we're done with the renovations, helps a ton. So I got the financing for $226,000. And because I lived in it, most people think of owner-occupied financing as maybe 5% down. You pay closing costs, maybe even 3% down. I got it for 0% down back in 2021, 2.75% interest rate. And that's
a lot of that
fixed. I love it. I'm probably going to keep that property forever.
That's fantastic.
Oh my goodness. like 2.75, but that's like nothing.
I know.
Like literally, like when you compare it to inflation, oh my gosh.
Dude, and the great thing about it is, especially on the first one, okay, you know, 2.75%, we're probably not going to get that these days. So it's probably not going to be super helpful for the audience. But the thing to think about for them is going to be, it's going to be like training wheels. This house hacking strategy is like training wheels if you want to do real estate investing, because you got everything. You're probably going to be doing some renovations. You're probably going to be managing the property yourself because you live there. You need a place to live anyway, so it reduces your risk, and it also decreases your cost out of pocket every month so that you're benefiting it from it no matter what. You can make a lot of mistakes. A lot of things can go wrong, but you can still come ahead because you're still essentially cutting down your cost of living, which is a win in itself.
So what you're saying, AJ, is you know, even though they're not going to get 2.75 today, it's still worth it, whatever the interest rates is for them right now. It still could be worth it.
If you buy the right deal, I think it can absolutely be worth it. And for me, the right deal means in some way you can add value to it. I raised the rents from $550 to about $895 over the course of 3 years. And that allows me now to cash flow pretty heavily. My mortgage is only $1,500 a month on that property, and I'm making about $900 a unit. And the utilities are separated. And so it's a great way to just get your feet in and get started. And then you can scale from there. You can start buying bigger stuff.
Dude, that's awesome. So when you got that one, are you still living in that unit?
No. So I've house hacked twice since then. The second was a live and flip. So I lived there. I got some financing to fix some things up. I sold the property and I used those proceeds then to buy this one that I'm in, which I'm also house hacking. And it's a little different because it's midterm rentals. These are traveling nurses. And so I've got three traveling nurses that are roommates, and essentially the rents cover the mortgage entirely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. I love midterm rentals, man. You can make so much money with them. They are actually my highest cash flowing properties is the midterm rentals. So, dude, that's awesome, man. So now you're doing these awesome, cool projects on these smaller properties. Now, we know that you invest in larger properties as well, the multifamily properties, the mobile home parks as well. But when was that transition for you? Did you just want to scale and take your business to the next level, or just an opportunity just happened to come your way?
There's something called the stack that Brandon Turner created, or just started referring to it. Brandon Turner from the Bigger Pockets show. He called something the stack, which is basically you're buying a single family unit, then a duplex, then a fourplex, eightplex. It just keeps doubling. And I started with four, then I bought eight my second year. I aimed for 16 and I failed. And I failing meaning I think I got like six that year. But I realized you have to do a number of things in order to continue to scale. You have to be comfortable with partnerships. You have to be able to pick great partners. You have to buy great deals. You have to learn a lot more about how do I leverage OPM, other people's money, because there comes a point where as you're scaling, you're going to need to leverage that a lot more if you want to continue to scale. And so that's when that mindset shift happened and I became more open to larger partnerships with various people, that allowed me to start buying things like a 75 lot mobile home park, a 50 lot development in Texas. We're under contract on 49 units right now. We bought a sixplex, a nine unit. So it's just all these different things are only possible because I have great partners that are willing to do the work with me and to take these properties down and get a share of the pie.
So I want to note one thing, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, AJ, you're in Iowa, right?
Correct.
And so he bought one in Texas. So can you walk through what that's like to buy something out of state?
Yes. Yeah. And I've done it multiple times. I've got property in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. We're doing 12 flips right now. And two of those are in Arkansas and five of those are in Dallas, Texas. And a large part of why we're able to do that and why that has been moving forward is we've got boots on the ground, people that live there that are part of the general partnership team. So their interests are aligned in terms of the project succeeding, and they're able to get eyes on the project on a continual basis. So that's how we try to operate if we're going out of state, is we want to make sure we've got boots on the ground, that have aligned interests with us that will push that project forward for us.
That's awesome. Now, I'm asking out of selfishness because I love mobile home parks. So how did that happen? Because it's a very unique, every single park is so, they're so similar and so different all at the same time. And you're laughing, so you know exactly what I mean by that. So how did that happen?
Yeah, and that's a relationship thing. Real estate is so reliant upon relationships. The more that you have, the more opportunities you have, the more deals you can take down, and the more competent you can be in taking those deals down. And so we've got great partners that are working. They brought us this park. It's in Oklahoma City. We bought it for a little over $2 million. And essentially, the story with that park is it was a tired landlord, someone who owned the property, was not taking care of it. And the tenants were essentially, they were very, very below market value, and their park wasn't being taken care of. And so we were able to get the property at a very good price. We're able to go in, fix some of the major headaches for the tenants, including roads flooding. And now we're able to move the rents from 300 upward toward our target rent of about 500 per
lot. So per lot. So is that trailer and lot rent or just lot rent?
Just lot rent. These were all tenant-owned homes.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. That really cuts down on your outgo every single month for rehabs and maintenance, because now you're not responsible for that. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is so
cool. I love parks with tenant-owned homes. If I were to outline a perfect park, it would be tenant-owned homes, no lagoon, you know, none of that stuff.
Right?
Oh, man. So, man, this is awesome, man. So, man, I know that, you know, during these journeys, like, we all had a point where, you know, whether we felt like giving up, you know, knowing you, you're not going to give up. I know the kind of person you are, but maybe there was a moment where something was so hard and you had to break through that moment. Could you share a moment that you had to go through that was very challenging as you were growing on this journey?
Oh, there have been several. I'll give you three.
He's like, I can give you a whole list.
No less. Maybe more. Yeah. Okay. So the first one was on my first property. I bought it, and as I was about to close, my insurance agent told me, hey, all of these breakers, all these panels are Federal Pacific electrical panels. Now, if your audience is not familiar, essentially, those are an insurance liability. Those are a hazard, and your insurance spikes because of it, or you could not get coverage because of it. So I had to replace all of them. It was an extra $4,000 expense coming in. Thankfully, I was able to save a lot of money on the down payment, and that helped me with just buying that outright. But I was like, man, there's so much I don't know that I am having to learn. And I spent $4,000 on that. I made the choice to spend. And it was an interesting choice. I replaced a quarter of the windows on this fourplex. Oh my gosh. I replaced a quarter of the windows on this fourplex for $14,000. It was like 14 windows. It's like $1,000 a window. And, you know, I think a large part of why it was so expensive is because I did financing, like 2-year, no interest payment. But they just rack up the fees on that, and it probably doubles the price. So that was one instance where I was like, man, I just don't know what I don't know. And I don't know how I'm going to get to know all the things that I don't know, you know, and over time, it definitely builds up, but it comes from other mistakes. And another mistake that I had, or another lesson, another webinar, seminar that I had, was I bought a fourplex with a couple partners in my hometown. And we were so excited about it. I was like, man, this thing's going to cash flow out the roof. We're buying it for $135, a fourplex. Wow. Can you believe it? We don't have to do that much work, maybe $20,000. And we got the work done on the inside. And lo and behold, a year later, the roof fails over one of the units. Not only does the roof fail, because it's a flat roof, and it was winter and we had 3 feet of snow on the roof.
No. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Not only did the roof fail, insurance did not cover it, because we had a similar issue. We didn't have a Federal Pacific electrical panel, but we had a fuse box, and the fuse box kicked us out of one insurance category and put us into another that did not cover weight of ice and snow during the case of roof failure. So in that instance, essentially, we had to pay out of pocket $20,000 for a new roof.
Oh my gosh.
And that came out of my share, because I brought my partners in. I told them, hey, you guys, this is a good deal. And when this happened, I told them essentially, like, this is on me. this is something I should have seen. I should have seen the roof was old. I should have seen that we didn't have the fuse box that gave us the insurance coverage. And so I covered that out of my equity. I took that hit. And after that point, I was like, holy cow, you know, wow, that hurts. That hurts a lot. Yeah. And that becomes a lesson. It becomes something that you store in your memory banks and you say, okay, now I'm not going to buy properties like this where you have all these issues, and I'm not going to not address that at the front. If I'm going to buy those, right up front.
Absolutely. And there's so many different things you can do to address it up front. You know, you can have sellers fix things. You can get repair credits for them. You know, so many different things you can do. So I'm sure you learned a lot with that for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Dude, this is awesome. I'm sharing these things. And so, you know, if our listeners are want to be a breakthrough investor just like you, man, what is the ultimate piece of advice would you give them based on everything that you've learned so far? And I know there's much more to learn for all of us, but what do you think is one of the greatest ways for them to break through anything that come their way?
Yeah, there's two. Well, anything. If I were to talk about overall, generally, I'd maybe give a little bit of different advice, but I'll just start with one thing that I think was very important for me to learn is you need to be, number one, buying great deals. Great deals meaning you can add value. And for me, I no longer really look at turnkey properties. Mm-hmm. I look at where can I buy a property, do a bunch of renovation up front, hit every single thing that we need to hit in terms of repairing it, and still be all in around 75% of what that end value is going to be. When I was buying initially, my properties that I was buying were older because I was looking for cash flow, and there wasn't a ton of value add opportunity, and the ability to grow my equity in that property was not really there. And that was one lesson that I had to learn, was that cash flow is going to disappear because you're going to have to throw that back in. And what you're left with is the equity. And if you don't have any equity growth, then you're not profiting. And you're also not giving yourself that buffer between what the property should be worth and what you're paying to make it worth that. So that's the first piece of advice I'd give, is just buy great deals. And the second piece of advice I would give is find really good partners or really good mentors. And those folks are going to be able to help you to break through some of the things like I've experienced, where I just didn't know what I didn't know and it cost me. If you have that mentor or that partner that's a little ahead of you or very ahead of you, then they can give you a heads up, a yellow light or a red light, and say, hey, stop, consider this. So that's what I would share.
Dude, that's awesome, man. And I can attest that AJ does these things, because I know him. I know some of his partners. I know some of his mentors, and they are just awesome people. I mean, so I love it, man. AJ, this has been a completely amazing, man. Did we miss anything? I know we covered a lot. Did we miss anything to share out with our audience that you can think of?
Well, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. I mean, I've had a good time. I'd love to chat with you guys a little bit more offline about some of the things that you're doing as well. But no, I think it's been great. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, AJ Smith Real Estate. I also have a website, connectaj.com. They can go and click on and download a guide if they want to learn more about how do I invest in multifamily? How do I become the person that's doing deals? There's a whole guide that I created on multifamily investing and mobile home park investing that they can download and learn some of those key terms and items they need to start.
Dude, that is awesome, man. Oh my gosh. William, we got to download that too.
Yeah, I'm pulling his website up as we speak.
That is so cool. I didn't know you had that, but that is so cool. You all definitely need to connect with AJ. And so we'll have more information in the show notes. But AJ, it's been fantastic having you on the show. And we look forward to bring you on again. And so you could share where you are in that part of your journey and share some more insights. Would that be okay with you?
That'd be awesome, guys. No, thank you for having me on. It's been good.
Awesome. All right, man. So we will see you on the next one.
All right. Thanks, fellas.